Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 5, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 5. Once you arrive at Jeremiah 5, I want you to find verse number 1, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Stand with me, if you would, please. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Jeremiah chapter 5, starting with verse number 1. It says this, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, The Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, Surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men. I will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us tonight to listen to the Scripture, to be encouraged by its instruction. Might we follow its direction, please. Holy Spirit of God, help us tonight in a unique and a special way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Here in Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah is describing an attitude that is developed and has developed among a group of people. In verse number 1, he said, "Go to the streets of Jerusalem. See if you can find one man who has pure judgment. See if you can find someone that seeks the truth." In verse number 2, he said, "You go down there and they say the Lord liveth, but they swear falsely." In other words, they're saying one thing, but they're living something totally different. In other words, he said they're phonies. They're phonies. They talk Christian talk, but they don't walk Christian walk. They publicly profess Christ, but in private, they're imposters. When you get to verse number 3, he said, God's eyes know the truth about us. God has stricken them. But they're not grieved about it. God has consumed them, but they have refused to receive this correction from God. They've made their faces as hard as a rock. In other words, they've become stiff-necked. You say, what does that mean? They don't plan to change. They refuse to get right with God. They like the way they are. You say, how are they? Talking religious talk, but not walking a holy walk. And folks, America is full of that kind of religion. People use the name Jesus, but they don't even know the Jesus to whom they refer. They talk about church and God, but they don't know anything about living right. America is full of that kind of behavior. In verse number 4 here in Jeremiah chapter 5, it says they're poor. Now, when it's talking about poor there, it's not talking about financial poverty. It's talking about their weakened character, their weakened commitment. They're impoverished when it comes to doing the right thing. Said they're foolish. You say, what does that mean? Well, someone that's foolish has rejected wisdom. So the opposite of a fool is someone that's wise. Now, here's somebody that's foolish. That means they had an opportunity to do right, but they don't want to do right. They really don't know much about God, but they claim to be very, very well-versed, if you will, about God. And Jeremiah was saying, I am surrounded by half-hearted religious phonies. And he said, well, what's the answer? He said, what is the answer? Then I'm glad that God put Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 5 in there. Jeremiah said, well, I'll just get me unto the great men. I will get me unto the great men. Why? He said, they know the way of the Lord. They have pure judgment. They have the answers that are righteous and holy and wise and good. And you know what, folks? I think that's what we need today. I think just as Jeremiah was frustrated and he said, I'm surrounded by a bunch of religious phonies. And well, what can I do? He said, well, I'm going to seek out and find the great men. And there might not be a lot of them, but I will find them so that they can help me, encourage me. And folks, I think that's what we need to do. Let's get unto the great men. Why? To learn how to live. Let's get ourselves unto the great men for encouragement or for challenge, to develop our convictions. Let's get unto the great men so we can use example and guidance and counsel and learn good behavior. I'll tell you one thing. I love when I study the great men of the Bible, the great men of history. They motivate me. They motivate me. Let me tell you all something. Anything that God did for some Christian in the past is still available for God to do for some Christian today. We all seem to think that all the great things of God are all historical. No, I think God is just waiting for somebody or some bodies or some church to say, God's still alive. God can still do miracles. Revivals are still available. And the old time religion is a religion for now. And we need to believe that God is still alive and God still wants to do wonderful things. I agree. Oh, get me unto the great men. In the Bible, there were many great men. I think of Noah. What a great man was Noah. You can read about him in the Old Testament. You can read about him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5 exalts Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. He lived in wicked days. You think you live in wicked days. Noah lived in such wicked days, God wiped everybody off of the face of the earth but Noah and his family. Now, we think we live in wicked days. Something was going very, very wrong there. But let me tell you what Noah did. Noah stood for what was right, no matter what the cost. Now, there's a great man. There's a great man. God is not trying to exalt mankind, but God is trying to exalt the men who have done right and have uplifted the things of God and who have proven that God still can do miracles and God still can use people. So when the Bible talks about, I'll get me unto the great men, there are a lot of Bible characters that we could look to as great men and we could let them encourage us. I think of Elijah. I mentioned him this morning in my sermon in 1 Kings chapter number 18. On Mount Carmel, there was I call it a competition between 450 false prophets of Baal and Elijah. Now, I need you to understand the odds were against Elijah in that situation. And as the story goes, Elijah calls to God in heaven and ask God to send fire down to consume a sacrifice. And God does. Now, I believe Elijah in the Bible was a great man. A great man. Oh my. But I like that because we learn something from him. Elijah kept on going for God even when the odds were against him. Noah kept on going for God and stood for right At any cost, he said, I'm going to do what's right. I was thinking of Peter. What a great man. Peter was a great man. You say, oh, wait a minute. You're talking about the one that denied Christ? I know he did. If we were to go to Matthew chapter number 26, we would discover that Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire. And there was a maid there, there was a woman there, and she begins to inquire about Peter's relationship with Jesus. And he denied, and he lied, and he even threw a cuss word in to top it all off. And I know that he disappointed the Lord. Let me tell you something. I've never seen a man in the Bible make such
a tremendous comeback, as did Peter. I mean, in Matthew 26, he's cussing, denying, and lying. And by the time you get to the second and third chapter of the book of Acts, he is standing in the back of a pickup truck down at Mount Pentecost, preaching fire down, and had 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day. That's a pretty big comeback. And so, you say he fell. Everybody falls. But I'll tell you what I liked about Peter. He fell and he bounced back up. He bounced back up. And did you ever hear of that toy called a Weeble? Weebles wobble. But they don't fall down. If they wanted to make an action figure of Peter, they could have made him a Weeble. He wobbled, but he got up. 3,000 people were saved. To me, that's the quality of greatness. Noah was great because he stood for right at any cost. Elijah was great because he moved on even when the odds were against him. Peter was great because he made a comeback from a terrible sin that he had committed. He made a comeback. And you know something? He bounced back further than he was prior to the fall. Paul was a great man. Paul was a great man. The book of Acts chapter 9 tells, you know, the Bible talks about the conversion or the salvation of Paul. A lot of people don't realize it. In the Bible, the man named Paul was previously named Saul. Now, Saul, when he was unsaved, he helped with the murder of Christians. He gets saved. He's on the Damascus Road and he meets Christ and he gets born again. Here's what I love about him. He did not let his past stop him from doing something great in his presence. There's some people in here, you need to hear this. You say, "Preacher, I'm humiliated about some of my past. Preacher, I've got some failures in my past. Preacher, in my past, I did some bad things." Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul had some pretty bad things in his past, but he claimed the forgiveness of God. And he did not let his past rob his present. I thank God that I watched David make a great comeback and we watched Peter make a great comeback. And the Apostle Paul, he had a mess of a past. But he said that he said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He said, "You might say of me, I'm that dirty Saul. I'm that man that killed Christians. I'm that man of false doctrine. I'm that man of false religion. But I'm born again, and God has reached down, and God is now using me, and God has changed me." And by the way, that man who slaughtered Christians was responsible for penning 13 books of the New Testament. There's somebody that did not let their past limit their presence. And everybody here has a past. Everybody does. Don't you let what you did in the past stop you from serving God today. You see, Jeremiah said, "What am I going to do? I'm surrounded by religion and it's a bunch of religious phonies." He said, "You know what I'll do? I'll get to the great men. And I'll let the great men encourage me. I'll let the great men challenge me. I'll let the great men convict me. I'll let the great men be my example. I'll let the great men be my motivation." You know, I think of Paul, a man who didn't let his past control him. He sang Amazing Grace and he lived it. See, there's all sorts of people out there that sing it. They don't live it. Paul not only sang it, he lived it. Oh, let's not forget the great men. Let's not forget Abraham. Let's not forget David. Let's not forget Moses. Let's not forget Joshua or Daniel. And I challenge you, take a look sometime at the qualities of the young man in the New Testament named Apollos. Let's not forget those great men. But not only are there great people who were in the generations in which the Bible was being penned. In more recent history, there have been people that have grasped or grabbed a hold of the qualities of God and lived them. For instance, a man that I think is an unsung hero in our country, a man by the name of Schubel Stearns. Schubel Stearns was born in 1706. He was a Baptist colonial evangelist. He was saved and influenced at a George Whitefield revival. Schubel Stearns started his Baptist church in Sandy Creek, Guilford County, North Carolina. His church, some say, grew to somewhere between 600 and 900 people. But get this, that church started 42 other churches in the state of North Carolina. From those 42 churches were 125 preacher boys that in turn started 1,000 churches in South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and Kentucky. And from those churches, by 1830, they had started another 1,000 churches, which means one man, Schubel Stearns, went to a little city in North Carolina, founded one independent, rock rib, fundamental, devil-hating, sin-fighting Baptist church, ended up being influential enough to start over 2,000 churches. I'd say there's some greatness tucked in there somewhere. Brother Edwards and I were talking a little bit about this before the service. You say, I have never heard of him. You will in heaven. When some of the people whose names are known all across this world are, you see them up in heaven, you're going to find out. Schubel Stearns is going to be in the front of the reward line. In more recent days, there's some greatness that we could remember. We could be encouraged. Dr. John R. Rice, Mrs. Rice. Dr. John R. Rice was an evangelist. He went around our country and around the world preaching. A couple of his favorite subjects was the home, soul winning, and the Holy Spirit. Started a newspaper called The Sword of the Lord. Millions and millions of papers have spread around this world by Dr. John R. Rice. He wrote somewhere between 200 and 300 books. He was a powerhouse for God. Boy, that encourages me. God said to Jeremiah, He said, Jeremiah, I know you're surrounded by some phony Christianity and weak Christianity. He said, but don't give hope. Just get yourself to the great man. Folks, you know, you say, well, where is a great man today? You don't have to have a great man today. There are all sorts of great men to which we can look. You look at all the great men in the Bible. You look at the great men of history. I was thinking of a great lady, Fanny Crosby. She was a blind lady. You know that Fanny Crosby wrote over 9,000 songs. 9,000 songs. Over 1 million songs were in print last time I checked. She wrote the song, I Am Thine, O Lord, I Have Heard Thy Voice. And it told of thy love for me. She wrote that song. You understand, she's blind. She wrote the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She wrote the song, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done. She wrote the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. She wrote the song, praise Him, Jesus, our Blessed Redeemer. She was blind. I would guess that if she can write 9,000 songs being blind, that you could figure out how to do something for Jesus. Let's take a glance at some of the great people. Why? God told Jeremiah, He said, Jeremiah, you want some encouragement? You want something to entice you? You want something to motivate you? Jeremiah, if you want, you can complain about all the liberality and all the lack of productivity around you. And you could, if you want, get sucked into it. Use it as an excuse to sit there. But God said, Jeremiah, get yourself unto the great man. Look back at what God's done. Look at what God's done with some people and realize the same God that was Noah's God is your God. And the same God that was Elijah's God is your God. I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He began preaching when he was 17 years of age. He was saved after hearing a layman preacher. A layman. Well, you say, what is that? Somebody that had a secular job, but they did some preaching. They preached the gospel. Do you understand all the thousands and thousands and thousands, over a million people that got saved under the preaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? All those are going to be accredited to the account of a lay preacher. You say, who is he? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. God knows. God knows. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he wrote many books. We would call him the Prince of Preachers. He founded a college called the Pastor's College. He wrote 49 commentaries. He pastored a church of over 5,000 people. That encourages me. Dr. Jack Hiles wrote 44 books. Over 1 million people walked the aisle of his church for salvation. He preached 65,000 sermons. Hey, don't forget about the Lee Robertsons. Don't forget about men like Tom Malone and Curtis Hudson and Lester Roloff and Bobby Robertson and Adoniram Judson. William Carey. William Carey was a Baptist missionary. He was saved in 1783. He read Jonathan Edwards' book about David Brainerd's prayer life. William Carey said, "Greatness is available from your knees." He became a missionary to India for 41 years. Get this. He and his ministry translated the Bible into 44 languages. I'm going to guess if William Carey can translate the Bible into 44 languages, you could figure out how to read through yours once. Well, I'm encouraged. You know, most of these men that I just mentioned to you, they didn't have the lifespan of people today. The diseases were rampant. The health was hard on them. We have so many more things, and the cleanliness of our society, and I'm not talking about morally, I'm talking about physically. There's, clean water in so many ways. The things that they accomplished really in a shorter amount of time than what we have. But when Jeremiah said, I know what the answer is. If I'm not encouraged by looking around me, I will look unto the great men. So I think you and I, we can look to those greats that are from the era in which the Bible was being penned. But wait a minute, God's not done. God wasn't finished. God was not saying the only people that He would use to uplift His greatness would be alive when the Bible was being penned. Because from that time to this, God has had generations of people and churches and men that God has placed His hand upon and done some marvelous and powerful works through them. You ever ask yourself, what made him great? What made him great? I'm almost finished with my sermon. I wish I had 10 minutes to give to everything I'm about to say in just a few. But third thought is, what made them great? What made those Bible characters alive when the Bible was being penned great? What made those from that generation to this great? I'll tell you very quickly. They loved, lived, and defended the Word of God. What I'm about to tell you, anybody can do it. Anybody. They loved, lived, and defended the Bible. Did you know a 4-year-old could do that? You don't have to have a college education to love, live, and defend the Bible. Anybody. Number two, they were faithful to the local New Testament church. You know, that's not hard. You say, Brother Owens, my intellect is not high. My IQ's not high. I could never be used of God to do something great. I don't think you have to have an outstanding intellect to do something great. You say, what do you need to do? Love the Bible, live the Bible, defend the Bible. Be faithful and loyal to the local New Testament church. Number three, they were after the winning of the souls of men. The souls of men was a big deal to them. That was a big deal. Always talking about keeping people out of hell. You look at that list of people. You look at Fanny Crosby's songs. They're all about reaching people, loving people, getting people to heaven. You look at Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You look at Dr. John R. Rice. You look at these people and what we would call the greats, they were after the souls of men. Hey, let me remind you, what made them great? And whatever it is, from what I can see, anybody could be a part of it. Anybody could practice these things. They loved, lived, and defended the Bible. They were faithful to the local New Testament Baptist Church. They were after the souls of men. And then they walked in the Spirit. These were spiritual men, and they walked in the Spirit. They did not walk in the flesh. They knew the importance of surrendering themselves to the Spirit of God. They knew the importance of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Did you know you don't have to be a preacher to be filled with the Spirit of God? The Bible says that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. He said, you're young, you're old, you're men, you're women, everybody here, the Spirit of God. If you're saved, He lives within you. You submit yourself to Him. You keep your eye on Him as He keeps His eye on you. And you can walk in the Spirit. Number five, they worked tirelessly for God. Or, if I may, they were people of great character. I've never seen a lazy person accomplish great things spiritually. Even if you have talent, talent won't keep you afloat. The spiritual life, character is important. It's very important. Lazy people don't accomplish much when it comes to spiritual things. So, they loved, lived, and defended the Bible. They were faithful to the local New Testament church. They were after the souls of men. They walked in the Spirit. They worked tirelessly. They were people of good character. And I would need to tell you that they were not worldly. They practiced separation from the world. You look at all of these people that we've talked about from the Old Testament, New Testament, and the generations in between then and now. They were people that believed in separation from the world. They believed that we should not look like, dress like, act like, smell like. We shouldn't behave like the world. We're to be different. We're a peculiar people. They were clean people. Not only that, they did not let their burdens or heartaches stop them. And I could park it here and I could tell you the stories and what these people went through. Boy, Brother Earl, the stories of the great missionaries. People just wouldn't realize what missionaries would go through to be used of God. Throughout the Bible, you see the burdens and the heartaches that would come upon the people of the Bible. The men of more recent history, the heartaches and the burdens and the many, many things that they faced. They did not let the hardships or the burdens of life stop them. Listen, all these things, these are things you could do. These are things that I could do. And let me give you one more thought. I believe one of the things that made them great is they knew that they needed to pray. They knew that they needed to pray. Did you know the youngest child here can pray? Really doesn't matter what shape your health is in. You can pray. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket. You can pray. Anybody can pray. Did you know what? Anybody could love the Bible. Anybody could be loyal and faithful to church. Doesn't take much. Anybody could care about the souls of men. Anybody could walk in the Spirit. Anybody could be a hard worker. Anybody could separate from the world. Anybody could decide, I'm just not going to let my burden stop me. They may slow us down a little, sure, but they don't have to stop us. You say, how do you know that? Because God would never put a burden on you that was so big it would stop you. That would be unfair. That would be unjust. So you have enough energy given and made available by God to get through this thing and keep on moving. And anybody can pray. You know, if I could sum it up, they just simply walked with and for God in this life. You take Noah, Elijah, Peter, Paul, Abraham, David, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, Apollos. They just walked with God. Schubel Stearns, John Rice, Fanny Crosby, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Jack Hiles. Hey, you just take the Lee Robertsons, the Tom Malones, the Curtis Hudsons, the Lester Roloffs, the Bobby Robertsons, the Adoniah Judsons, the William Careys. You know what they did? They read their Bible. They prayed. They cared about the souls of men. They went to church. They worked hard. They decided to keep going no matter what. And they walked in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And they became the greats in Christianity. Sounds to me like anybody who wanted to could. Jeremiah said, I am surrounded by phony Christianity. What can I do? He said, you know what I'll do? I'll just remember the great men. I'm going to figure out what made them great. And then he looked at it and he said, you know what? God didn't make it hard. And it's not hard. Anybody could do the great things, which are very simple things, to be a good Christian.